Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're going to throw random people at him to play with, and you're going to carry the line for 10 fucking years. Are you ready, Hall? It's going to be fun. You know what this is. You clicked on it. It's Brews and Bruins, episode 67. A drinkable podcast you can taste. The Hockey Podcast Network podcast. Also presented by Bruins Diehards. And then we got that sponsor, DraftKings? DraftKings?
That's
you got
correct.
That?
Yeah, DraftKings. What you talk about DraftKings? DraftKings? DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy sports, where every day can be payday. DraftKings, I'm doing all this from memory, I don't have a script. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users across the nation, from sea to shining sea. Use promo code THPN when you sign up. THPN is in the Hockey Podcast Network. You could save some cash. When you do it, you get some free entries, depending on the event. It's a good time. It's a good time. So definitely sign up for DraftKings. Go to DraftKings.com. $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Hey, everybody.
Yo.
It's just me and Drew. I don't know. I think we'll probably try and keep this one a little short.
It's not just us. We're more than enough.
Yeah, this is plenty for, but probably too much for some people. yeah, I mean, it's weird. Like I feel like when we talk about the podcast and like what we're gonna do in the off season, we always have this magical time where like there's not a lot going on, where we're gonna have time to do like other fun stuff, and there's always just like shit going on, mm-hmm. and this is an especially short. Off season too, so free agency's happening, the expansion draft happened, the draft proper happened. I don't know if you got takes on the entry draft.
Well, I think we have to mention un-Bruins related in the draft. That Fuckface was drafted by the Fuckface team.
Logan Mailloux basically told teams not to draft him because he took an non-consensual picture of a woman during a sex act and non-consensually sent it to his teammates. And he's a sex criminal. So he told teams not to draft him, I assume, as some sort of like lame attempt at redemption at some point, but the Habs drafted him despite that, and they had some questions to answer and literally didn't.
Yep, just outrageous that they do that, especially like, not that it makes it any better, but the kid even said, "Don't fucking draft me, like this is going on." You know, it wasn't like this was something that was just kind of kept under wraps, and like, we all know what he had done. And so still draft him anyway.
either way, drafting him knowing that, but especially it's out in the fucking public. Like, you're just going to look dumb. It's a dumb decision to do. And it really shows where that team and maybe even this league as a whole, where their priorities are at, talent over human being. Yeah, I hope he doesn't see the NHL ice.
Yeah, it's super shitty. Read our wonderful friend Kat's article in the Toronto Star from about that. She hit everything. Yeah, so let's hard pivot to beers.
Mm-hmm.
What you got, Drew?
I've had this one before. It's a Blue Comet New England India Pale Ale. Nice 7.1% from Widowmaker Brewing. Yeah, let's have a little tasty poo. That was my Cam impression to say something a little weird before taking a sip. Where there's silence.
I think you're pretty versed in the saying something weird before doing anything on this podcast game. So,
alakazam! All right, so this beer, tasteability, you could certainly taste it. It is very hoppy and definitely really heavy. So tasteability, going to go with a 31. Drinkability is pretty damn low. Probably have to go with like a 9 on it. Good beer, just definitely heavy. If this is a shorter episode, this will probably be the one beer I have.
Well, I have a fine Pilsner beer. I have a Miller Lite. Let's give this the old taste test.
That was great. It was all muffled in the can. The taste test.
Okay. Drinkability, 38. And taste, 12.
Tasteability.
You can tasteability it. Yeah, so as far as the Bruins in the entry draft, I don't have many takes. They took some players. Some people liked their picks. Some people didn't. I'm not going to even pretend to be able to project 3 to 5 years from now how good these players are going to be or if any of them are actually going to reach the NHL. I think it's all kind of, especially in a season like this where there was no scouting, all just kind of a crapshoot, and we'll see.
I think, why am I forgetting his name now? I know it. The guy that got in the first round. Bruins first round pick. it was Fabian Lysell. Lysell, whatever, European, don't know.
Lysell? Is that
Lysell?
Lysell. What country is he from? Is that?
Oh, I didn't know you were making me really go. Sweden. He played juniors in Sweden, so I would imagine.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, people seemed to like the pick, so.
Yeah, I think it was a good one. I think they had said there was some sort of character issues they're worrying about. I hope that's like ego and not like something really
that's
bad.
Another thing to say about the NHL and the NHL media is they often conflate like actual crimes with
character
issues and that's not good.
But apparently he was like a top 10 top 15 talent and then I guess some teams, I just saw this on Twitter, I don't know 100%, like this isn't Don Sweeney saying yeah, well this guy's really blah, blah. But apparently it was a top 10 top 15 talent, but that those character flaws quote unquote were what kind of saw him drop down to the Bruins at 21. So hopefully winds up being a good pick. Hopefully those character issues can be fleshed out with him just maturing and being, you know, not having an ego, if that's the case. Yeah, I think it's a good pick. He's a right winger, too. I feel like it's been a while since the Bruins have really... Actually, no. Who did they... They didn't have a first-round pick last year, right?
No,
I think it's been a little bit since they've gone for a forward in the first round, like really like got a good one that panned out anyway. So
Pasternak.
Well, yeah. But that was what now? 5 years ago? 4 years ago?
Yeah. I'm not saying it was recent. I'm just saying that was the last one.
Yeah. That was the last one. And he was a right winger and he was in the 20s. So Fabian is going to be the real deal.
I mean, he passes the name test. Like, that's a pretty sick hockey name.
Yeah. And I think also they picked up a goalie in the third round. Or no, they didn't have a third round pick. It was the fourth. Yeah. Or they didn't have a second round pick. So, yeah, it was in the fourth, though. And, yeah, I mean, they're adding depth there. I don't know how really good the guy is. It's just kind of going to be like a maybe a backup someday. Or who knows? He'll surprise.
he'll surprise everybody.
Henrik Lundqvist was picked in the seventh round. So anything can happen.
Yeah, just a reminder that every Bruins goaltender pick is going to pan out.
Mm-hmm. they're all going to be better than Tuukka.
Yeah, I mean, so there were a lot of like weird things that went on in the NHL that we can touch on if you want to.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, let's go through some news before we go to questions.
Yeah. So for me, the top one was the Chicago Blackhawks giving Seth Jones immediately the worst contract in the NHL.
Mammoth contract.
Right after Vancouver traded for the second worst contract in the NHL. Yeah, it's a 9.5 per for 8 years. I would be worried about paying Seth Jones 9.5 total for 8 years. he has been one of the worst defensemen in the league over the past couple of years. He had one solid year and has never been a big point producer, so I think the narrative has kind of been that he's this really stout defensive defenseman, and like as soon as the offensive game comes around, he's going to be a great two-way player, and he's just never really been that good defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for the past few years, he's been sheltered by Zach Werenski, who is a really good defenseman. And maybe that's the confusion. I know it's a very like 200 hockey men thing where it's like, well, he plays a tough game and just but he doesn't really bring much to the table other than that.
Yeah, I think that contract's pretty crazy, especially, you know, all that aside with the cap not going anywhere, and we're still seeing these huge contracts. And yes, NHL players deserve to be paid a lot more money than they're getting, but it's just, how do you, like, that contract says this guy is our franchise defenseman now. Like, this is our guy, and he's not that. He's not that. Why waste all that fucking... Why make the trade anyway? Just keep Duncan Keith at a cheaper... Basically, you're going to get the same outcome.
And you'd think the team that signed Brent Seabrook to what was previously one of the worst contracts in the NHL for a defenseman, think they'd be a little more cautious about doing something like this. But yeah, it seemed like the obvious thing that was going to happen after they traded for... Seth Jones's brother. So,
Well, good luck to them.
Yeah, that's weird. Other things. Yeah, the Vancouver Canucks trading for Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland. Vancouver sending back a bunch of their bad contracts, kind of a weird one. I don't know, that has some impact on the Bruins because the Bruins were said to be in on Connor Garland. I went on Cat and Mikey's podcast and listened to them talk about this more smartly than I could, but I guess the idea was the Bruins were kind of floating Jake DeBrusque is like, well, he's been playing right wing, but we don't really have space on the left wing for him now. Maybe get a right winger like Connor Garland. But Connor Garland's like a lot better than Jake DeBrusque, so I don't know what the kicker would have been there to actually make them pull the trigger on that.
Yeah.
You know, the Bruins don't have a lot of kind of middle of the road pieces that they can add to things. Like they have guys who are like almost NHL ready, but not very good. Thinking like Vakanainen, and I mean, Studnika is kind of, I feel like he'd be too much to throw in and probably more valuable to the Bruins than he would be to another team right now.
I mean, I think he's the Bruins top prospect right now. I don't think you part ways with that. I'd part ways with someone like DeBrusque if that if it's going to fill something on the third line there. You have plans to, in another way, fill something in on the third line. But yeah, no, don't trade away Stonika. That's your top prospect. When Krejci and Bergeron and all of them are done, that's kind of your insurance plan. Whether he pans out to be that top line guy is still in question, but he has that potential, so don't. It's too soon, and the Bruins do that a lot. They part with their prospects way too soon in a lot of cases, and then in other cases, they hold on to them for too long, just kind of like what we're seeing with DeBrusk right now. So hold on to Stonika. I'm fine parting ways with DeBrusk if it's not going to really hamper the team more, because DeBrusk can fill in on that third line better than, like you said, they have a lot of guys that are almost ready for the NHL, but they're not that great. I think DeBrusk is a tier above those guys. So, I mean, you're giving a gap, but.
I guess the other move in the chain of GMs taking on awful defensemen was Rasmus Ristolainen going to Philly.
For like
first and second round pick. Like, I don't understand why. The dude is even worse than Seth Jones. It's bad. And I understand, like, okay, he's got a lot of pedigree being a high draft pick, you know, maybe trying to unlock something that he wasn't able to tap into in Buffalo, maybe seeing Taylor Hall get out of Buffalo and being like, oh, maybe this guy will be something in Philly. And I guess, you know, putting him in a situation where he's not the top defenseman, you know, they got Provorov there. They also just traded for Ryan Ellis, so he'll be on the probably on the second pairing. Who knows, maybe that'll help him out a little bit, but he's still bad. And I think trading a first and a second round pick for a guy who's, you know, doesn't pass the eye test or the analytics test is kind of it's bad management of assets.
Yeah, I think it makes me thankful for how, as a fan of the Bruins, how they're a little more patient, they're a little more reserved, and sometimes I've been like, just pull the trigger, like, you gotta go for it, free agency, pay the big contract and go for the cup, and, you know, kind of kick the can down the road of, oh fuck, we gotta figure this out now. But at the same time, I'm really glad that they're cautious and they really think about the contracts that they're signing. And that's why kind of Suter is kind of leaving the table because of the length and stuff. And we'll get to that in the listener questions. But yeah, it does make me thankful for that. I think, and I really think the Bruins are in an interesting position where I could see Krejci coming back with a hometown discount. If they bring Rask back in the latter half of the season, once he's recovered from hip surgery, that's going to be a cheap contract, a 1 year, which basically equates to 6 months. So I think they're going to have room to make some maneuvers. Like, I could totally see Krejci taking a pay cut to be like, okay, sign someone else. Let's go. Let's stack up for the cup, which doesn't happen too much in hockey in terms of, you know, you saw like the big three with the Heat, LeBron and co, taking pay cuts to get a team together, because it's not that easy in hockey. You can't just have three big stars and be like, all right, let's go dominate the competition. You got to have a little of everything. So, but I could see a guy like Krejci and Rask taking that pay cut if it's like, hey, this is both of their probably last shots at the cup, I would imagine, if they came back. Krejci wanting to kind of go to the Czech, and Tuukka, I mean, with all the injuries and stuff, probably close to done. And but it'd be great if they took that discount, and I could totally see them doing it, and then that frees up a lot of space for the Bruins to figure out their issues at left D, as well as adding some depth.
Speaking of saving some moolah, no qualifying offers for Andrei Kasha or Nick Ritchie. I think first thing to say about that is it doesn't necessarily mean they're not coming back, just means that they aren't going to extend that amount of money to them. And I think a little surprising on Nick Ritchie. I thought that they were kind of enamored with him, but I'm okay with them not giving him. It was like a $2 million qualifying offer, and definitely not for Andre Kasha, who, you know, with all those injuries, you could absolutely bring him back for not very much money. Maybe give him a chance to skate around in the AHL for a while and see what happens. But, wouldn't want to pay him anything more than $1 million right now.
Yeah, for sure. And they're probably also doing that to save some space. I think a lot of the guys on this team who are free agents want to come back, like guys like Richie and Kasha. I think they would gladly come back. So I think it's not like a guy like, oh, I want to go test free agency. Let's give him our best offer now. Maybe coax him out of that. I think they're feeling a little bit safe. And I don't really think teams are going to go out and be like, all right, we need Nick Ritchie right now. Let's go. This is the missing piece. 5 years, $5 million.
Like, the only team I'm worried about doing that is the Rangers, because they just did the same thing with Barkley Goodrow.
But yeah, so I think they'll be okay. I mean, whether this team has Kasha or Ritchie going forward, I don't think that's a big issue. I think they can plug the holes. It's really just important to coax Krejci back. And I think it's not going to be like Sweeney trying to talk to Krejci and be like, come back. It's going to be Berge. It's going to be Marshy. It's going to be Pasta. It's going to be that core that's like, hey, round 10, let's go.
Yeah, I'm interested to know like what the behind the scenes were with the Taylor Hall contract. Have we talked about that on this pod yet?
I don't know if we touched on... We haven't recorded since he signed.
Yeah, so Taylor Hall, I mean, it's not news anymore. So Hall. We're not... no one's listening to this on Tuesday.
What?
July, whatever. Holy shit, can't believe he's back. But I mean, let's offer our thoughts on that. What are your thoughts on the deal?
I think that's a great deal. I think that's pretty damn team friendly as well. What is it? 4 years, $6 million.
Yeah,
four by six. Kind of like Krejci. Hello, Krejci. Knock knock. Come back. I think that's great.
I'd want Krejci for 4 years.
No. I'm just saying it was 4 by 6.
Oh, 46. I get it. Ooh, maybe he did that as an homage.
I'll take Krejci a year or two, but I think Hall, that's a great deal, because I think he's going to provide that $6 million worth of production based on how he played, and especially if Krejci comes back. And he can kind of be like, whoa, that's not much less than Bergeron or Marchand or Pasternak. Well, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak all took discounts. Bergeron and Marchand signed their contracts a little while ago, so at that point, it was kind of what they were worth. Still a little bit less. And Pasternak took an extreme pay cut. So in reality, on really any team, like what Hall's being paid would be what your typical second liner is being paid. So I think that's a really good deal, keeping him around. And whether Krejci comes back or not, they're going to need him. He would play excellent with Krejci, and if Krejci doesn't come back, he's going to be the guy you really needs to pick up the slack. And then it's like, oh, we're going to throw random people at him to play with, and you're going to carry the line for 10 fucking years. Are you ready, Hall? Yeah. It's going to be fun.
So that's kind of what I was wondering, if there was some behind-the-scenes talk of, like, if Krejci doesn't come back, like, he's making some demands, like, you got to get me a center because I'm not playing with Charlie Coyle next year.
I don't know.
I think it'd be interesting if Krejci didn't come back. Like, we'll get into it with the questions, with like some people had some questions on specific players, but I think it'd be really interesting to have two veteran guys like Taylor Hall and Craig Smith flanking Jack Studnicka and seeing what they can do for his game, rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
Kind of one of those like crossing, career arcs where, you know, maybe he starts to pick up the slack as they get a little bit older. That would be interesting to me. I think it's probably a little too risky of a thing to actually happen. I don't think that's very likely, but you know, if I were playing fake GM, I'd give it a shot for at least like a couple weeks or something. I think if Charlie Coyle is your second line center at the beginning of the season next year, something went wrong, and I feel like Taylor Hall wouldn't have signed here for 4 years if there weren't some sort of contingency plan, where he said they like not necessarily part of the contract. I feel like that's definitely not a thing. But you know, if he's talking to Don Sweeney, going like, "Hey man, like I'm gonna sign this contract, but like this is with the idea that you're gonna give me a center to play with," and mm-hmm. like I assume the ideal would be Krejci, but if not, I'm sure he supplied a few names.
Yeah. Are we going to questions?
Yeah, let's see if there's anything else pertaining to the Bruins that's not covered in the questions.
Oh, expansion draft. We lost Lazan. Oh, we already did that. We had our bye-bye Lasagna.
Yeah, we did
that.
Long
was... Lasagna. That was an entire episode. Completely forgot.
By the way, we have Chanel scheduled for next episode. Her first availability is Thursday night before we when we record for our Friday episode. So we're gonna get her takes on what the expansion draft was like. I'm really excited to
mm-hmm.
to hear.
Yeah,
about
she
that.
Was there. She even she had a television appearance
on TV. Love yeah. that stuff.
All right, let's transition to some questions. I don't know. I think I have it open another tab. Let's see. Yes, I do. All right.
We're pros here.
I'm not that dumb. So we have like the Cam campfire chat. This is the Dube circle. The Doobie circle. All right. Our first question comes from Patrick. I'll email to brewsandbruins@gmail.com to keep my answer, my questions a secret. So we'll circle back to the end. We got a question from @AidenHolloran. Well, I say question, but there's a lot here. There's a lot to unpack. Have you heard of the Holtby trade rumors? Are they real? So, Chris, are they real? What's your inside scoop? NHL insider, Chris Gear.
I feel like there's more to that question. I read that one. Doesn't that go on for a bit? Because
it is, but... Oh, and then what is the probability of a trade? What would it take?
Because I feel like
Dan Vladar and a 2026 round pick for Holtby.
I feel like
the
trade that was suggested is a weird one because Tuukka is a UFA, so that's. I mean, you can sign and trade, obviously, but if you want Braden Holtby, it's not to replace Tuukka.
Yeah,
I think that's to replace his first half of the season and then become a veteran backup. I don't know if people know how bad Braden Holtby's been over the last like 3 years.
It's been good versus the Bruins, but other than that,
yeah, I think that especially Bruins fans don't understand that even in the season where the Caps won the Cup, he was not the starting goaltender to begin the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was Ilya Samsonov, and he gained the net back in the playoffs after a really rough regular season. And yeah, he just hasn't been the same Braden Holtby. I mean, he's getting older. He's a little younger than Tuukka, but I mean, you never really know with goalies, like who's going to make the adjustment and stay mm-hmm. good. Tuukka's done a really good job of doing that, but also, you know, obviously has had some health issues over the past few years. And,
mm-hmm.
That's another thing that happens with older goaltenders. Yeah, I think the ideal is to do something to get a veteran goaltender in here so that Jeremy Swayman's not here.
Not your number one and number two.
Yeah. We still don't know if Dan Vladar is ready to be an NHL backup right now. So
I'd say no. I'm no Cat Silverman. I'm no expert, but
he was good for a short stint last year. When both Halak and Tuukka weren't playing, and then had a couple of really rough outings that brought his season stats down to a place where you don't want to see him. I think Jonathan Bernier was a guy who was a name that was being floated around, but I think the idea is that he's going to sign in Carolina after that inexplicable Alex Nedeljkovic trade. Drew covering his mouth over there. Oh, my neighbors have begun talking outside. That's cool.
Nice. Let's talk to them. Get their take on this trade.
Open the window and ask them what's up.
Hey, what do you think of Brandon Holpe for Tuukka Rantanen in 2026?
Yeah, I don't know. We're also going to get to another potential trade option for goaltenders. I don't know if there's anyone out there in the free agent market that really seems like a good fit. So I think maybe a trade is probably something that's going to need to happen. And it's probably someone that we're not all looking at going like, that's the guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're riding Swayman and Vladar, that's not your path to the cup. I think if they do that, Swayman will either have to have a very, very good season, but I think they would have to be signing Tuukka and giving Tuukka kind of the reins going into the postseason. But ideally, what I'd like to see is Swayman is sick, like all season, right? They re-sign Tuukka. Swayman keeps the starting position, but gets injured going into the playoffs. And Tuukka starts and leads the team to the cup. It gets the Conn Smythe, and then we have Hags on.
Yeah, I don't want any scenario in which Swayman gets hurt, but...
No, it's just like a little... It's like a... Like a small injury, and then Tuukka is just outstanding for five games, and they're like, no, stay with the hot hand, which isn't what the Bruins seem to do a lot of the time. They kind of
no.
Just...
I mean, it is interesting. So, like, I do have this, like, I feel like any Bruins fan would have a tough time not thinking about, like, what if they had just started Swayman, like, for the playoffs last year? And I don't think anything different would have happened. Like, it might have been even worse, but...
I mean, a lot of their issues was offense. So.
Yeah, you can't win nothing. But moving on.
So the rest of that tweet. Hope he starts over Swayman, Halak starts in Providence, or trade Halak for PK Subban and a prospect goalie.
Wait, is that a real
trade Halak for PK Subban and a prospect goalie? I think honestly, no offense to Aiden, but I think he threw this into like NHL 21 GM mode, and like that's what the other GM would accept, the AI. So
I mean, considering he's trading two UFA goaltenders, I mean, I don't think Halak has any plans of re-signing in Boston, but
I think it's probably assuming that Tuukka or Halak re-sign with Boston and then you're trading them. But even so, I think Tuukka said he is only playing in Boston. He made that very clear. No other team is going to fucking go near him. I love it. Gives you a lot of security. But
I just don't understand how there are Bruins fans who don't love this guy. He just fucking bleeds black and gold.
He loves the city. The big reason is he doesn't want to move. He's like, my kids go to school here. Like, I
has he ever once complained about being in Boston?
No, never.
He's never been like, my playing time sucks.
Yeah. It's not like with Krejci, no like shade to Krejci, but he's like, you know, I kind of want to go back home to the Czech, which no one can blame him, but Tuukka's not even like that. He's like, I have the long drink in Boston, so I'm set.
Shouts to Kaylee, who I saw on Instagram was like at a bar drinking the long drink the other night.
Let's move on to the next question. Joseph La Posata, betraying that, sorry, at Dem Hawk Racy, Hawkracy? Oh, Demhawkracy. I like that.
Hey. Okay.
Took me a sec. Hey there. With Suter looking for a long-term deal, what free agents do you think the Bees should pursue to fill the hole on left D?
Mike Riley.
Alternatively, anybody that you think the Bruins might be able to trade for? If so, what do you think we should offer? So I think we kind of mentioned DeBrusk as some bait there. I think you can part with some picks. Look, if you're going for the cup this year, part with picks. Like, fuck the pipeline. Like, go for it. And then if you have to rebuild later, you want a cup. I don't think they'll go into full rebuild mode, but give up some picks. Give up that first rounder if it's going to bring you something worthwhile and decent contract. Don't blow it on a Duncan Keith. make something really work with that. But honestly, I'd say all picks are on the table. I think DeBrusque is on the table, and then there's some young guys other than Stanika.
I'd put Stanika on the table for the right guy. But
if it's going to be, yeah, if it is that talent, and if it's Stanika, someone who's going to stick around for a bit, not a rental.
Yeah. So the guy who sticks out to me, you're not doing it now, but you're waiting until Nashville inevitably sucks.
I think that's the name of the episode. You're not doing it now. You're waiting for Nashville until Nashville inevitably sucks.
It's a long episode title, but I'm with it.
We got an acronym. Ferns.
But yeah, Matthias Ekholm was the big mm-hmm. name at the deadline last year, and he ended up not moving, and then Nashville made the playoffs, and obviously that didn't work out because they were a bad team. But that's kind of the guy who's now a rental. Maybe you wait until he becomes available, because Nashville is definitely going to be worse this year. They've already moved Ryan Ellis. They're trying to retool a little bit. I think that's going to be a guy who's available. The price is probably going to be pretty high. Obviously not as high as it would have been last year, because you know he's now a strict rental. But yeah, Matthias Ekholm's a really good player on both ends of the ice, and if you have him on your second pairing, that's great. I think the ideal would be to re-sign Mike Riley. I'm going to keep pumping that, but I mean, if Mike Riley's agent sees that Seth Jones just got $9 million a year, and he says, "Hey, like my guy is so much better than Seth Jones, like check out this dude, he can actually do stuff on the ice,
he can play hockey,"
maybe he plays himself out of the Bruins price range. You know, playing for a team for half a season doesn't necessarily make somebody want to take a hometown discount, you know. But you know, if Mike Riley wants $5-6 million, I'm giving him it.
Yeah, pull that trigger. Got to go for the cup this year. Bruins are a little hesitant at times, a little too hesitant.
Yeah, I don't have any really good names for trade targets. That's always a hard question.
It's really hard at this point, too, because every team's signing free agents and they're focused on adding. They're not really focused on subtracting as much until
everyone's optimistic at the beginning of the season. Like, look at the Kings, who were like kind of surprisingly good last year. Like, they weren't good, but they were supposed to be like maybe the worst team in the league. And then some of their prospects kind of stepped up, and it was like, okay, maybe this team could contend in like a year or two.
Yeah.
Which, not realistic, but probably like 2-3 years down the road might be a decent team. So they're probably not looking to sell anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't see any obvious teams where like the Sabres don't have any great players that I'm looking at, like, you know, other than Jack Eichel. But I mean, like, defensively, I am not looking at them going like, oh, we need Rasmus Dahlin. And that's also not a guy that they're looking to move. So
next question comes from Jinkybot at Jinkybot 5. If Tuukka doesn't re-sign with the Bruins, who will be brought in to pair with Swayman? I think we already talked about that being someone we probably don't even know the name of currently.
I think we'll know their
name.
We'll
recognize their name, but we can't name that name right now, you know. That's what I was getting at. But
James Reimer,
there you go.
Full circle.
I think Frederik Andersen.
I would love to have Freddie Andersen. Dude,
that'd be great.
I don't know what his stock is right now. I think he is probably better than the last couple of seasons he had in Toronto, but
he's probably unhappy in Toronto right now.
Well, I mean, he's a UFA, so yeah, you could just sign him. But it'd be interesting, because I don't know how many teams are just like straight up looking for a goalie. And he'll probably command starter money, but that's another guy where you can be like, the Oilers just signed Mike Smith for 2 years at the age of 40 for $2 million a year. So like Freddie Anderson's probably going to get somewhere in the $5 million range.
Mm-hmm. Robert Schloster at R Schloss 33.
Mike Riley or Keith Yandel? We know the correct answer, but any excuse to talk to Mike Riley?
Love this question. Keith Yandel is, he's like 36.
Yeah, but he's Iron Man.
And he's a power play only player.
He's Iron Man.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're giving up on the idea of Matt Grizzlick or Charlie McAvoy running your power play, sure, he could probably improve your power play, but he's not going to improve your team in any other way. And also, you have to be concerned about a decline at this age. So maybe he stops being able to do the power play stuff. And he really can't play defense in his own zone. And Mike Riley can do that. Mike Riley can also push the puck up the ice, and those are things you really want to see in your second pairing left defenseman.
Yeah, I think if the Bruins are to add Yandel, that's kind of a trade deadline thing where you're seeing, okay, this guy is performing well this season, because it's definitely a big gamble on a guy his age, as you said, the decline
gamble
is kind
on
of there.
Yandel.
Gambling on Yandel.
That can't be right. That can't be our episode title because we don't want to gamble.
The Yandel Gamble.
Yandel Gamble Ramble.
I don't think that's a guy they go for right off the bat to start the season, because with a guy that age, you kind of want to see where they are at in the present in competitive games. Because I think Yandel's totally the kind of guy like the Bruins go after and acquire and then doesn't pan out. Yeah. I think you got to see more from him.
He's definitely their type.
Andre Kasha's ghost at Sean Raho 17 says, it's true. Can confirm, because our tweet was, drop us some of your Bruins questions and you'll get a shout out on the pod. It's very cool to get a shout out on our pod. And we're not just saying that. People, they come to me and tell me that this is true. That's the best pod they've ever heard. I don't get the voice right, but I think I kind of got the pacing right. Yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah, good enough. Better than I do. Yeah, think about that one for a little bit. AJ at McNeil and Prey. If Krejci doesn't come back, do you see the Bruins pushing even harder for Dvorak? Now, I didn't even see the Bruins attached to Dvorak anywhere.
So the thing was, they were connected with... there was never any, like...
Is he from Boston?
No, he's not. I believe he's Czech.
Yeah, I think so.
There was never any explicit... the Bruins are tied to Connor Garland. It was the Bruins are in talks with Arizona. People were saying, as soon as Garland and OEL went to Vancouver, like, they must not have been talking about them. They must have been talking about Dvorak.
It's impossible for the Bruins to get outbid.
Dvorak's interesting. He's kind of like an inconsistent point producer, but he's making reasonable money. He's the kind of guy where if you want to do something... So kind of counter to what you were saying earlier, Drew, where, like, instead of being patient and figuring out if Krejci's coming back or not, if you want to do something, we're kind of playing both sides where, like, all right, worst case scenario, this guy's our second line center. Then I like the move, like, depending on what you give up, like if you're doing picks and prospects and stuff and not really giving up anything off the roster. He's not great defensively, and I don't really know if he's great offensively, but he does have a history with Taylor Hall and apparently played really well when he did play with Taylor Hall. I think he's like in the $4.5 million range.
Yeah, it is. I was just looking it up. It's 4.45. So yeah.
Yeah. So that, like, that's super reasonable for a middle six center, and he can also play wing if Krejci does come back. I think I'd be more comfortable with, like, starting him on the wing, but he is a left shot, so he'd probably be on the left wing. If you're not re-signing Richie, maybe that's the thing that happens. But also Coyle can play the wing. It's one of those moves where, like, if the best case scenario happens and Krejci comes back, you can deal with that as well, and your team is still probably better for it. And if Krejci doesn't come back, yeah, you probably take a hit. And maybe that's not the ideal move, but you're at least not sunk. Like, the second line isn't shit now.
Yeah, I think Dvorak would honestly be a good target for the Bruins at that cap hit. He could be a second line guy, or he could just be a really good third liner if you can kind of bank on him being that really good third liner. And I mean, I don't have his age here, but he must be pretty young, because he's not even halfway.
He's 25.
He's 25. Yeah, he's not even halfway through his second NHL contract. Last 2 years of that, modified no trade clause. He gets to submit 8 teams. That's not an issue if you're looking to get rid of him, really. If you submitted 8 teams out of the 32, well, I guess it would be the other 31. Now in the league, Seattle, baby. Yeah, let's all go to Seattle. Seattle road trip. Yeah, I think that's a decent target. I think, really, you do need to figure out the defense. I think that's the biggest thing, especially if you have a good feeling that Krejci would come back. But yeah, not a bad option. I think certainly better than a lot of the guys that the Bruins have been connected to in recent off seasons.
I think ideally I would want to be patient and find somebody else afterwards. If Krejci's gone, you find somebody else. And I guess
then you drop 6-7 mil on second line center.
So, I was actually talking to BSC before the pod. Shouts to BSC.
BSC, when's he coming on?
I talked to him about it. He's taking a long break from pods. Our pod was the last one he went on, so
we ruined it.
Yeah, well, I offered him an open invitation. He said he would absolutely come back on when he's ready, but he's still on hiatus.
Nice.
So Pius Suter, pretty good prospect out of Chicago. They did not put in a qualifying offer for him, so he's a UFA right now. Small sample size, but some really good underlying numbers. Maybe not really good, but like 77th percentile kind of thing, where like this guy could definitely be a second line center. Also 25 years old. It's one of those things where like Dvorak has proven what he is, but what Pius Suter showed this past year in a small sample was better than that. But is that really what he is? So that's kind of the guy that I might target if Krejci says I'm not coming back. But also it's unclear if like he's actually going to sign before Krejci comes back or whatnot. So, you know, these are the complicated things that you have to juggle when you are an NHL GM.
And that's why you go to Harvard like Don Sweeney.
No, you go to Harvard to play hockey, Drew.
Yeah, but then you also get like a sick ass degree. Anyway, Mark has a question for us at Mark Pacelli 13. Just goes by Mark on Twitter. It's the Mark.
He's the one.
Do you see Darcy Kemper as a viable option to pair with Vladar and Swayman while Tukes recovers from surgery? I guess that's kind of like one of those guys we said we don't know who it's going to be. But yeah, we'd recognize the name when we saw one. I don't think that's bad, but it's like, I don't know what his contract situation is. Is he a free agent?
I think he's with the team for one or two more years, but I think it's somewhere in the 3-5 range, somewhere around there.
Isn't this a guy that Kat is kind of high on? I'm looking up his contract right now.
Well, he's a Coyotes goalie, so yeah.
Well, yeah, but outside of that, I think.
I mean, he's good. So the problem with him is health.
4.5, by the way, 4.5
million. Okay, 4.5. Yeah, so the problem with him is health. I think the Coyotes kind of did the same thing that the Bruins did with Adam McQuaid and Kevin Miller. And they were like, here are these two exact same players who are always injured. Let's pay them both to be one player and that'll work out. And they did that for Darcy Kemper and Antti Raanta. And turns out two guys aren't always hurt in like inverse times. So mm-hmm. That's how you get Aiden Hill starting a bunch of games. Yeah, Darcy Kemper's really good when he's healthy, but hasn't really been healthy for large portions of the last few years. So I feel like if you're bringing in a guy to be like the steady veteran presence while you're waiting for Tuca to come back from injury, I don't know if that's your guy, because then you're going to end up back at square one at some point.
Yeah, for sure. We got one last question via email. We teased it earlier. It's from Patrick Laverty. Would you agree that the Bruins need a little more grit or snarl to make it through the playoffs? And if so, would you think about adding Kyra, I don't know how to pronounce his name, from Edmonton? K-H-A-I-R-A. I know the player.
Jujar Kara. Yeah.
Kara. All right. From Edmonton for the league minimum on the fourth line, or would you add Corey Perry for $1 million? Honestly, I would add either of them for $1 million. Honestly, just give it a fucking shot. Like, Corey Perry, yeah, probably not going to do much for you, but he could be one of those guys that's like, all right, he comes up clutch in some moments somehow, like exceeds expectations. See flashes of the old Corey Perry. Or with Kara or whatever you had said. I immediately forget.
Kara.
It's Chara, Kara. Yeah, I mean, he's a good fourth line guy too, brings a little bit of that toughness. And I think it usually, I'm kind of against bringing just in that toughness, because I think he also kind of needs some skill on the fourth line. And the Bruins had kind of a fourth line that was clicking at times. But right now, the fourth line is wide fucking open. Like, why not drop $1 million on a guy that could just bring that toughness, and he fits in with some other guys like Lazar, who have a little bit more skill and can move the puck a bit. I don't know if they'd be able to at $1 million, but if they could, then hell yeah, go for it. Not much.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we talk on this podcast about like how much you want skill more than you want just size, the combination of both is excellent, but also mm-hmm. kind of like a unicorn thing where like, there's Alex Ovechkin. Then there's, I don't know. Yeah, so I mean, those players are necessary. I don't know. You don't want to get knocked off the puck constantly in the playoffs. But it's not like the Bruins are a small team. Like, how often is Patrice Bergeron getting knocked off the puck? Like, he's not a big guy, but he's sturdy and has puck control ability. And I mean, David Krejci, also the same deal. Like, he's a smaller guy but can control the puck and keep it away from players. Like, it's one of those things where it's kind of perception versus reality. Maybe people saw the third line of the Lightning and were like, ooh yeah, like that's what won them the cup. And I think we've talked about it on here before. Like, no, guys like Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos and Yanni Gord and Braden Point, those guys win you cups. Really helps having like skill and physicality like Blake Coleman. Like, that's a guy that mm-hmm. would love to have. He's going to make way too much money in free agency for the Bruins to go out and get. But the stuff like that is how the Rangers end up overpaying for Barkley Goodrow. And yeah, I would absolutely rather pay for a guy like Jujar Kara on the fourth line than overpay for Barkley Goodrow to probably play on your third line and not be good enough to do that.
The second half of his question we kind of already addressed. It's about, now that Suter's kind of out of the equation, who do each of you think the Bruins' biggest offseason acquisition would be, not counting guys who were on the team last year? We kind of threw out a couple names already. I think we can leave it at that. He says, thanks, I'll hang up and listen. The sign of a dedicated listener.
We'll go with Pius Suter. I don't know. I think we'll see. It's going to be somebody. They're not going to stand pat, I don't think.
No. I don't think they will either. If they stand pat, they're in a losing situation because they lost Lazan. Not that Lazan would have made that great of an impact, but if you're not adding anything, then it's another hole to fill.
Drew, you made a great point at the beginning of the episode. The Bruins have been patient over the last few years, and it's a lot of like, why isn't Sweeney doing anything? And then like, he'll go out and make a couple of big moves, and everyone's like, oh. So I'm hoping that's the case now. I don't have my full trust placed in Don Sweeney's hands because he always seems like he's on the cusp of doing something really stupid and then doesn't. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to hear that Don Sweeney's in on Ryan Getzlaf. Like, don't want that. But, you know, if he's in on Christian Dvorak, there are worse things in the world.
For sure. Just a reminder to listeners out there, you can ask us questions on Twitter. You can slide into our DMs on Instagram, @BrewsAndBruins on Twitter as well. And then BrewsAndBruins@gmail.com for some emails if you're not on either. And if you don't have email, Twitter, or Instagram, I guess we'll just never talk to you directly.
Well, you could start your own podcast as like a rebuttal to our podcast.
That'd be fantastic. And
maybe we'll stumble upon it someday.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, anything else, Chris, before we say adios? I like how I kind of took over the hosting
now. I mean, you started the questions segment, yeah. So
there we go. It's a split episode. It's a
little handoff. Yeah.
Cam does nothing.
Cam, not even here. We wanted to rest our bullpen. You know, you got to keep those arms rested. So
keep them in jackets.
We'll be back on Friday with more content.
More than just us.
Yep. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Boop, boop, boo-doo-doo-doo, boop, boop, boo-doo-doo-doo, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo.